You're listening to the Author's Voice Podcast with Sean Asino. This show will give you inspiration and insights on how you can write your own book, even if you're not a writer. Sha is a trusted global speaker on gratitude, a best-selling author, a book writing coach, and the founder of the Global Authors Summit. And now, your host, Sha Asino.
Hi, good evening, good morning, good afternoon, wherever you're tuning in from. My name is Sha Asino, and I'm really happy to welcome you here in our YouTube Live. Today, I'm going to interview five authors who have written their first books, and we're going to ask them regarding their journey in writing their first book. They'll also ask for tips on how they were able to write books. So if you are watching right now and you have a dream to write a book someday, this is the YouTube Live for you. So if you are tuning in right now, can you just say hi in the comments? And if you have any questions while we're doing this live, please feel free to write them also in the chat box. And we'll make time to ask those questions to our dear authors. All right. So my name is Sha Asino. I'm the founder of the 90 Day Book Writing Challenge and Write University. And I'm also an author of 14 books. And writing a book is one of my passions. Lately, I haven't written a lot of books lately, but I'm really happy because more and more authors, first-time authors, are writing their books. The five authors that I'm about to interview in our YouTube Live were able to launch their first book during the Manila International Book Fair two days ago. So they were able to launch it in front of 2,000 people virtually, and this was broadcasted in the official Facebook page of the Manila International Book Fair. So if you would like to write a book and you're doubting, do you really need to write a book? Do you have what it takes to write a book? Then this is the live for you. Okay, so I'll be introducing our guests now. Our first guest is a pediatrician by profession, a medical frontliner, and a spiritual faith liner. She believes in the beauty of simplifying life and magnifying God's glory as we dwell on the richness of the living word daily. She is the author of the book Daily Encounter, To Grow in Hope and Harmony. Let's all welcome author Dr. Chani Sagud. Hi, Dr. Chani. Chani is trying to unmute her mic, and while she's figuring out the technicalities, let me introduce our next author. Our next author is a serial entrepreneur way before she even started writing. She received her Bachelor in Science in Hotel and Restaurant Administration from the University of the Philippines in Diliman, Quezon City. In 2013, she earned her license as a real estate broker. She is also a hands-on mom to her five children and is happily married to Lawrence for 15 years. Let's all welcome the author of Riches for God, May Espinol. Hi, May.
Hello, Misha. Good evening, good morning, and good afternoon to all the viewers right now.
Happy to have you here, May. And we're schoolmates, by the way. Let's talk about our student number. Okay. All right. Our next author is an application developer by profession and an artist at heart. She believes that everyone has a beautiful and unique journey in life, especially in their venture towards self-love, happiness, and holistic security. She is the author of the book Dear Lovable. Let's all welcome Bea Paula Cruz, all the way from Baguio. Hi, Bea.
Hello, good evening, good morning, good afternoon, everyone. Thank you, Chef, for having me here.
You're welcome and happy that you're here. I think Chani's mic is okay now. So hi, Chani.
Yes, hello, good evening, everyone. I'm sorry for the technical issues. I hope that my audio now is okay.
Yes, very much okay.
Okay. Good evening, everyone. I am Chani Sagun, the author of Daily Encounter, and I am thankful to be here. Thank you, Sha.
You're welcome, Chani, and we're happy that you're here as well. All right, our next author is a website copywriter, freelance writing mentor, and survivor of violence against women. She is an Igorota from the Mountain Province. She wants to use her God-given gift of writing to speak to and for abused women in the Philippines. Let's all welcome the author of Break Free, Charlene June Awing. Hi, Charlene. Okay, I think I cannot hear Charlene. Can you hear Charlene? No? Okay. There might be a technical difficulty. So while Charlene is checking her mic, let me introduce our next author. Okay, our next author is a certified Jack Canfield trainer on success principles. She graduated Bachelor of Science in Business Administration, major in Marketing from the Ateneo de Davao University in 1994. She completed her master's degree in business management from Cor Jesu College in 2017. A former land bank employee, she is now a full-time homemaker, entrepreneur, coach, and a passionate advocate of personal finance and investing. She is the author of the book, Raising Young Savers and Investors. Let's all welcome our next author, Doris Farrell de Mailig. Hi, Doris.
Hi, Sha. Hello, everybody. Good evening, good morning, and good afternoon. Hi to all the viewers.
All right. So we're really happy that you are here, Chani, May, Bea, Charlene, and Doris. I'm really excited to be talking to you right now. And before we start, I just want to greet Mother Ant, who is watching right now. She says hello to all the viewers. I think Bea knows her.
Yes, I met her at
that's
the
me.
Group summit.
Oh my gosh, that's you.
Nice.
Okay.
Wow.
I was very inspired. Your mother aunt all this time. Wow.
Mother aunt. All right, so as we all know, there is a very special occasion going on, especially in the US right now. It's Can you guess what it is?
Thanksgiving Day.
Thanksgiving, yes. And I wish we could also celebrate Thanksgiving in the Philippines, all over the world. But we can always have Thanksgiving, right? Even today, even if we're not formally celebrating it in the Philippines. So speaking of Thanksgiving, I'd like to ask you, what are you most grateful for right now?
Yes, hello. Happy Thanksgiving to everyone. And I believe that Thanksgiving is an everyday celebration. So I'm thankful for the gift of life. And also I'm thankful for God's surprises. God surprises every day. And also I'm thankful to be here tonight. Thank you.
Thank you, Penny. I also just want to share, I'm so grateful that you're here and that we have this chance to talk. And also, one surprise of my day was when someone sent me pizza. So you know who you are. Wow. Thank you. Okay, so how about the others? What are you most grateful for right now? Me.
For me, I'm most grateful, first of all, to God, and especially for saving me. And for his graces, because as I wrote in my book, I'm sorry, maybe I'm gonna, it's my baby, he woke up, I'm sorry.
Oh, do you want to get him or her? Maybe.
Yes, I'm sorry. I put him to sleep earlier for less than
this. It's okay, maybe she wants to join you. Hello, baby.
He wants to say her. I his. He wants to say his grateful message.
So anyway, I am thankful to God for saving me, because with the book that I wrote, Riches for God, it says in the Bible that what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world but lose his own soul. So I am thankful that God saved me.
Amen. Thank you, May. And look at your child. He stopped crying the moment you held him. Cute. Thank you, May. Okay. How about Doris, Charlene, and Bea?
Yeah. Yes, today I'm so grateful that me and my two sons graduated in our 30-day gratitude challenge. Yeah. Because last month I encouraged my sons to name three things they are grateful for every day. So we finished our 30-day gratitude challenge today, and we were so can you imagine every day they would say three things that they're grateful for? So for 30 days, they were able to name 90 things they are grateful for each of them. So it's a challenge, but they enjoyed it. And it's funny because one of my sons said, "Oh, I'm grateful for my nails because I'm able to scratch my head," something like that. And I was grateful because they were able to appreciate the little things. Because little things are actually big things.
Thank you. Thank you, Doris.
That's right. That. So, yes, for me naman, what I'm grateful for right now is actually the chance to launch this book. I'm grateful for the team of The Right University. I'm grateful for Coach Sha and for everyone, for all the co-authors also. Thank you for all the support, and of course I'm grateful to God for sending all the support that's around me, especially my family, my husband, my kids, and my extended family and friends.
Thank you, Charlene.
So I'm Dea again, and today I'm grateful for just life in general. I'm grateful that I'm alive, that I survived 2020 so far. And now we all have the opportunity to bless others through our books. So it's I'm very grateful for everything.
Right. You know, 2020 has been very challenging for many of us. And if we survived 2020, that's a big win already.
Yes,
so it is so, it's such a blessing to be alive at this time, and to be healthy as well. All right, so let's dive into your books. What inspired you to write your book, and specifically the book that you wrote?
Yes, hello. As for me, I'm inspired by God's love for me, because there was a time that I hit rock bottom. But I believe that when we are, God's power is greatest when we are at our weakest. So the thing that inspired me is my love for God. And I want also to share the love to others. That's why it inspired me to write this book. Thank you.
Thank you, Chani. And I know that your book will bless a lot of people, especially someone who may also have experienced what you experienced. And I really honor you for writing that book. That is so brave of you. So you turned your morning into dancing.
So thank you, Chani.
You're welcome. Okay, so how about our other authors?
For me, it's like a calling. Although when I was 10 years old, I thought of becoming an author because I have an uncle who wrote a few books himself. But then last year, during my quiet time or when I was spending studying the Bible, it got impressed in my heart to write a book. That was in September. So I just took note of that, thinking it was nothing. But then the following month, there it is again. So there's the confirmation and what to write about. But it's like there's a premonition already. When my first daughter, a few months back, told me, "Mommy, you're such a," well, modesty aside, okay? She told me, "Mommy, you're a virtuous woman. You should be writing a book." So maybe that's like a premonition already of what's bound to happen.
Wow. How old is your daughter, May?
She's 11 years old.
11. Wow. And she already knows what a virtuous mother is or what a virtuous woman is. You have 5 kids, right?
I'm sorry?
You have five kids? Yeah. 5 kids. Yeah. Okay. Thank you, May. Now let's hear from, once again, next, Doris.
Okay, so what inspired me to write the book? My book, it's Raising Young Savers and Investors. What inspired me to write this book is my burning desire to spread financial literacy, because financial literacy is not really taught in schools. So according to Robert Kiyosaki, our educational system focuses on two types of education. One is the academic education, wherein students are taught how to read, write, or do the math. And the other type of education is the professional education, wherein students are taught or trained to become professionals like lawyers, doctors, teachers, or nurses, for example. But there's one thing, one type of education that is missing, and that is the financial education. And it is very important because that financial education is what is necessary for the children to become, it is necessary for them to learn it so that someday when they become professionals, they will already know how to handle money, and that would ensure them that their hard work will not be wasted, and that they will be able to know how to manage their money and avoid bad money habits like getting into bad debts or falling into scams. So that's it.
Yes, and I think financial literacy is really, really important because, like what you said, it was never taught in school. And so yes, people may have messy finances, not because they planned it, but because of lack of education as regards yes, financial literacy.
And yes, and parents are supposed to be the first teachers
right,
of financial literacy. Yes.
Thank you, Doris. How about Chani?
Yes, Cha. My book entitled Daily Encounter to Grow in Hope and Harmony, actually, it's like a daily devotional. This consists of more than 365 days of empowering and inspiring poems daily. And for the 12 months, I divided it into like the 12 fruits of the Holy Spirit, such as love, peace, joy, kindness, and charity. So it's like a benchmark for us to grow in the fruits of the Holy Spirit. So I also want to encourage also a practice of pause to ponder and to pray, because I know that all of us are very busy, like we are so preoccupied with so many things in our minds, too many tasks to be done, but so little time. But I want to encourage the readers of the book to practice the power of pause. Practice the power of pause and to listen to God's will, because I believe that it is not I but Christ in me that wants to pursue and publish this book. So thank you.
Well, so it's like you became the vessel. You became the vessel, and then God was able to share what he wanted to share through you and through the book that you wrote.
Yes, somehow like that, Shan. Thank you.
Thank you, Chani. Okay, so how about you, Bea?
Yes, for my book, Dear Lovable, it was inspired by the thought that everyone is lovable. We're all beautifully broken. So in my 27 years of voyaging through life, I went through a lot of processes of breaking and then eventually evaluating my experiences, appreciating them with lots of conversations with God. And then after that, eventually I encountered healing. So the book Dear Lovable is a collection of love letters to my insecurities, the unlovable parts of myself. And it's a process also of encouraging the reader to write also to their insecurities, or to just simply take the process as it is, because we all have a unique and beautiful journey in discovering ourselves and eventually learning to love ourselves.
Amen. Well, I really love your topic, Bea, because I believe that it's something that everyone needs also to learn. No matter how successful you get in life, if you don't love yourself, nothing will ever be enough, right? So it's so important to love ourselves. And one of the most important components of loving ourselves is exactly what you shared in your book, loving the unlovable, seemingly unlovable. It is easy to love our strengths, but it's more challenging to love those that we don't like in ourselves. So thank you, Bea. Later on, we'll dive deeper into the topics of your book and what readers can get in your book. Let's also hear from Charlene.
All right. So what actually inspired me to write the book is, of course, the women who are stuck in an abusive relationship. So being a survivor, I felt that God is sending me this message to like help these women to voice out, to also speak up for themselves, and so that they will be able to break free from whatever struggles that they are having right now. So the book is all about talking to victims. So it's like me talking to a victim of women abuse, sharing my own experiences. And actually, I also interviewed five survivors of domestic violence or women abuse who also shared their stories that can somehow help a reader, especially a victim of women abuse, to validate her situation and learn from all the experiences that we, the survivors, have shared in this book.
That is so brave of you, Charlene, to talk about such a sensitive topic. And thank you for sharing. So like what they said, your wounds become your message, right? The mess becomes your message as well. So thank you, Charlene, for your courage to share that book. And also for giving hope to those women who are in the same situation and who may not even recognize that they're already being abused. Or maybe they know, but they're just helpless. They don't know what to do. So you survived being an abused woman or being abused. And now in your book, you're sharing how they can survive too. So thank you, Charlene. So as I can see, so our authors are now back online. So as I can see, the books that you've written are unique and very inspiring to specific readers, right? You have specific audiences for your books. So we'd like to know more about your book. We'd like to dive deeper into your book. So can you tell us what your book is all about and what the readers can get from your book? But before that, let's just greet people who are listening right now. So Ading Lakbayan says, nice. Pangarap ko din po mag-write ng book soon. So thank you, Ading. And yes, be inspired by our authors tonight because like you, they also dreamed of writing a book and now they were able to write their own books and they were able to launch their books as well at the prestigious Manila International Book Fair. We're very happy that we're able to share the book at the Manila International Book Fair, especially since our authors are mostly indie authors or independent authors. So thank you. Thank you so much, Chani, Charlene, Bea, May, Doris, for writing your books. So now I'm interested, and of course, we want to introduce your books to our listeners. So can you tell us more about your book and what they can get from your book?
Yes, for my book, actually, I intend this for the readers.
Okay, so I'll go first.
Okay, so Chani will share about her book.
Yes, for my book, I intended to write this book for those who feel that they are burdened, who feel they are struggling, because I want to reach the message that even though in spite of our struggles, we have the word of God to hold on. And then it's time to experience and to encounter the power of God in their lives and in their hearts through the habit of scripture reading and to ponder on the word of God. So for this one, I intend this one for those who are feeling tired and burdened in their lives, especially now in the season of pandemic where everything is so overwhelming. So I believe that we'll just have to rest in the word of God and to allow our hearts to experience Him in our daily encounters. That's all. Thank you.
Right. And we really need that. We really need that, Shani, because nowadays, for many of us, we are tired by what's happening, especially in 2020. This 2020 has been really, really challenging for many of us. And so we need that book. We need something that will give us hope, that will give us inspiration. So thank you, Shani, for sharing your book. Later on, we'll display where people can get a copy of your book. It's actually available at the Manila International Book Fair. So we'll flash where you can get their books. And with just a few clicks, you'd be able to order the books. And Manila International Book Fair and Wright University will arrange for the delivery of the books. So thank you, Shani.
Thank
you. Okay. How about Charlene?
All right. So, yeah. There's a delay on my end. Sorry about that. Yeah, so my book is, like I shared earlier, it's all about a message to victims of women abuse. So what they're going to learn in this book is, it's divided into three parts. So the first part is the validation process. And then the next part is breaking their silence. And the third part is letting go. Four parts pala. And then the fourth part is moving on. So it's going to be a process then. It's a process for them to like follow through. And then inside the book, there's also pages where they can do some exercises to like assess themselves before they move on to the next process or something like that.
Thank you, Charlene. Can you describe briefly what happens in an abusive relationship?
Yeah, so when I worked inside the Philippine National Police way back in 2014, I think, sorry, I learned that violence against women is a crime. So it is backed by the Republic Act of the Philippines 9262. So in this act, what I saw inside the Philippine National Police is that there are three crimes inside this law. And the first one is physical violence. Second is verbal or emotional abuse. And then the third one is economic abuse. So basically, physical abuse, it's more obvious because it's like physically you are being abused, you are being slapped in the face, or you are being hit with something like that. And those naman that are categorized under emotional abuse are things like threats, verbal threats, or emotional turmoil, messages like saying something that hurts you or indirectly hurting you, that you don't feel like you are being verbally abused, but you are deep inside. Mm-hmm. And then the third one, which is economic abuse, is all about economic things, like financially you are not being supported by your husband or your partner, or if you have a common child, even if you are not married together. Mm-hmm. If the child is not being supported by the father, it's also covered by the law. And then another thing that was also emphasized there was if your partner or your husband is like preventing you from going to work and earn an income, that's also covered by the economic abuse category.
Whoa. So we didn't know that. So there's actually a law on that. So for example, yes, if the husband is not earning well for the family, that could be considered economic abuse. Or if the husband is busy to work and then the wife is the breadwinner. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, very interesting. So guys, if you're listening right now, if you're watching right now, grab a copy of Charlene's book. So my team will flash the link where you can grab the copies, the copy of Charlene's book, and also the copy of the books of our authors tonight and of the authors of Wright University, because these are really important. We need to know our rights as well, because this is our way of loving ourselves and also loving the people that are our partner, our
yes,
the person we're in a relationship with. Because if you tolerate abuse, you're also mm-hmm. not doing good to the other person. Maybe the other person is not even aware that he or she is already abusing you. Okay?
Right. So, that's right.
Thank you, Charlene. That is really, really enlightening. Okay. Now let's go to the book of Doris.
Yes. My book is Raising Young Savers and Investors, How I Taught My Children to Save and Invest in the Stock Market. Okay, this tells the story of my two sons here. Jed, or the elder son is Patrick, and the younger one is Jed here. And this is their story when they were younger. My eldest son, Patrick, used to have a bilboko attitude, and it was my fault, because I was a full-time employee working in a bank for more than 8 hours, and his father is an OFW. So to compensate for my guilt, because I was not able to spend much time with him, I would buy him anything that he wanted. So he developed that attitude of entitlement mentality, and bilboko niyan, bilboko nito, or buy me this, buy me that. And I would say yes. And later on, I realized that it was a big parenting mistake. So he was 12 at that time when I realized it. So what I did was really to turn it around and help my son transform from extravagant to a frugal teenager. And also, he learned his core values, and the other son also, Jed Benedict, the younger one, he's opposite from his kuya, our elder brother, because since I learned a lot of lessons from the elder brother, I taught Jed how to really manage his school allowance, and he even became a winner of the Banco Central ng Pilipinas. He became an outstanding Kitty Saver awardee. And he had that system of saving his allowance. What he would do is save first into his money jar before spending it. So he had three jars, one for savings, one for charity, and one for tithes, because I also wanted to teach him about compassion and giving to the Lord. And not only that, I also taught their nanny or yaya on how to save, because they have this yaya or nanny, and who also studied college, or we call it here Sunday school. She would go to school on Saturdays and Sundays until she finished college. So right now she's already working and she's already an employee. And since I taught her all about saving and investing, she is now an empowered employee. And I am grateful that I was able to teach her that, because I was sure that she could also become a financially intelligent person. So that's it. And by the way, I also taught my kids how to invest in the stock market, because so many people are not aware that stock market is the biggest, or the how do you call this one, the most the best asset class, rather, for the long term. So if I taught my sons how to invest in the stock market, because it's something that could make them hopefully become rich someday, because rich for God, of course, and rich for other people, because the purpose of money really is to help others, not only themselves, but also to help others. So I want them to have that attitude of being able to help other people. So that's it.
Indeed. Thank you, Doris. And I really believe that financial literacy is so important, especially amongst the young ones, because if they have the right money habits early on, they would carry that when they start to work and when they start to earn their own money. So thank you, Doris, for writing that book. You are blessing a lot of moms, a lot of parents, because sometimes it's difficult to teach kids about financial literacy, right? So to all the moms and dads who are watching right now, you just need to grab a copy of Doris' book and gift it to your children. And you'll do them great favor. And you'll do yourselves great favor as well. So thank you, Doris. Now let's go to Bea. Dear Lovable.
Hello again. Yes, so Dear Lovable actually takes the reader on a voyage from accepting the unlovable parts of themselves first. So I start with the phase of acknowledging, accepting, and appreciating the unlovable parts of us. And I give my stories of the things that I struggled with accepting and appreciating about myself. So after each chapter, there is a part with some actions that the reader can follow and apply on their own lives. So I can just read like a brief outline. Sure. Also of the step after acknowledge, accept, and appreciate. You will go to break down, break free, and break through. And then you learn how to create the care that you crave. And then you go to dream, destine, and develop. Then you evaluate your efforts, floss your flaws, like floss as in the teeth, and floss your flaws with faith, harmonize with hurt and heal, and lastly, magnify the marvelous. So this is the outline of my book, and I hope that the reader will be able to go through these steps with grace and with love, more love than they had when before they started their journey.
Amen. I also love the play of words that you did there, the alliteration. So that's really
wonderful. Thank you. I had fun with that.
Yes. I love the create the care that you crave, right?
You mentioned create the care that you crave.
So can you tell us briefly about that? So, and then I'll share why I asked that. Yes.
Okay, so I came from a Bukan family. So most of the time growing up, my father was not really with our family. So I was craving for a lot of the care that he was not able to give. So eventually, it went through seeking attention from other people, or it was people pleasing. And then it evolved to just emotional eating. I got my comfort from food, which developed a very unhealthy habit between myself and food. So when I was evaluating the things that I was going through, I was researching about emotional eating, and then I came across Carly Randolph Pittman's blog, I think, and then she talks about, and I also mentioned this on my book, there she talks about how we should hold our cravings. It's like it's a signal for us that we need to care for a craving. It's like the inner child that's having like a tantrum or that's crying. So to me, my cravings became a way for me to know what to care for. It's like I'm craving some chocolate or some high sugar food, and then I would try to find it. But if it's all out, like if there's no ice cream or I'm not able to get money to buy food, then I'm just sitting there in by myself with that craving, with that feeling that either I'm not enough, I'm not lovable, I'm not beautiful. And then I think at that moment when we are all by ourselves, I think that's when God comes to us, when we are alone. It's the time when we are most vulnerable. We're mm-hmm. alone with our thoughts. And then that's when we will get really the message of what we have to do. It's usually the first thing that I always do to care for that crying child is really to cry And then just tell myself that it's okay to feel what I am feeling because I'm human. It's normal. I don't have to be a professional all the time. It's like in my room, I can just be myself and it's okay to feel what I am feeling. This is a normal process. And it's just like a child that's having a tantrum. You softly cool your emotions. And then you feed yourself with nourishing thoughts, with positive thoughts, with loving thoughts. Then you can read the Bible or read something inspirational online. You can look for a quote that fits your emotion and what you're feeling. And then through that process, through just really cradling and creating the care that we crave, I think that's really a bridge towards healing.
Amen. Thank you, Bea. And you know, to all our listeners right now, if you're listening to this, what Bea is sharing is deep psychology. Because I also started reading psychology books on self-love, things like that. And sometimes, especially when you're in a relationship, you say things like, I wish he would give me more attention, or I wish he would be nicer, or she would be nicer to me, right? You are craving the other person to do something for you. But actually, what you are craving is, the real message is this, according to Dr. Gay Hendricks, the real message is you're actually craving that from yourself. So even if the other person will give you what you're craving, it will never be enough because the person you are craving that from is yourself. So think about that whenever you say something like, I wish my sister or brother would be nicer to me, just reword it to, I wish I would be nicer to myself. Or I wish my boss would treat me with respect. It's actually, I wish I would treat myself with respect. You are just projecting to your boss or to the other person. The thing that you are craving for from someone is actually the thing that you are craving for from yourself. So that's according to Dr. Gay Hendricks, and it makes a lot of sense. So thank you, Bea.
Yeah, so to all powerful. Thank you.
Yes, yeah, so powerful, right? Did you know that before, or that reasoning?
Thank you.
Okay, cool. But maybe you know it instinctively, right? So Dr. Gay Hendricks, he was able to put it that way, and it made a lot of sense. So thank you, Bea. So to all our listeners right now for this live, make sure to grab a copy of Bea's book, Dear Lovable, so that we will all learn to love ourselves better. Because when we learn to love ourselves better, we can love others better as well. So thank you, Bea. So now let's go to May.
Hi, good evening. My book is Riches for God, Breaking the Negative Mindset Towards Money and How to Use It God's Way. So yeah, it's actually based on my experience because I grew up in a Christian family, and actually I grew up, it's like I grew up in the church, and I always hear the message that Christians are promised an abundant life. But when I look around me, the people I see are usually financially struggling and are broke. And back in early 2000, I read the book Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And that opened my mind about financial literacy and financial freedom. So when I read that book, I realized that many Christians, although there are a lot of self-help books in the market about personal finance, many Christians are struggling with the idea of being rich. Because you usually hear or read from the Bible, it's like, if you love money, you are evil. And like the story of the rich man, that when Jesus told him to give all his possessions to the poor and to the needy, it's like that he was upset. And then Jesus told that rich man or his disciples that it's hard for the rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. So things like that limits most Christians to desire wealth, right? So with the book Riches for God, it will help them understand what the Bible really has to say about money, wealth, and rich people. So personally, I discovered that being rich, you can be both rich and spiritual at the same time, because money in itself, it's not evil. The Bible is not anti-wealth. In fact, in Deuteronomy 8, it says there, God gives us the power to create wealth. And also, I think it's in Isaiah that God teaches us to profit. So there are those empowering Bible verses that you can find in the Bible. And so for Riches for God, it's actually because of the course of Misha Nacino, it's actually the first book in the series that I am writing. It's a biblical financial stewardship series. And this is the first book. There's going to be 4 books in that series. So wow. Promotion na agad for the next books. But anyway, part one of Riches for God talks about what keeps you from making more money. And then in part two, I discuss on how and why you need to make more money and how to do it God's way. And also in this book, pretty much like the other author earlier, it's like I patterned this after Proverbs, where it teaches about knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. So in the chapter, in the introduction of the chapter, there's like these bullet points that will help you prepare yourself what you will discover in the chapter. And then in the body of the chapter, you will understand these limiting beliefs that you have, these processes that you need to reconcile. And then at the end of the chapter, it's like a reflection on how you could change your mindset regarding this limiting beliefs, and also how to empower yourself. So that's what the book is about.
All right. Thank you, May. And I think your book is really important, because sometimes we have a wrong notion about the Bible teachings as regards money. We think that we need to be poor, but there are actually Bible verses that says something like what you're saying, May. So thank you, May. So now let's go back to the stream, all our authors, and I'd like to ask you this question. This is a really interesting question that we'd like to ask you. Okay. Let me check if everyone is here. So I'd like to ask you, what does it feel to become an author? How does it feel to publish your book at the Manila International Book Fair? For those of you who have the physical copies of your book, how did it feel when you first held your book? So Doris has her book right now.
Yeah, I was able to first hold book last January, and I was actually able to launch this already through FB last June, and my first batch got sold out, thankfully. And the feeling was really, it's indescribable. It's very fulfilling, because I'm into financial literacy, and what I was thinking was, if I could transform at least one parent, then that parent would teach her or his children, and then her those children could teach the next generation. So that would have a domino effect. So you see, from one person to the next generation. So it's like being able to fulfill really my purpose in life.
Amen. Thank you, Doris.
For me,
yeah,
I thank God that I'm a part of the Manila International Book Fair. I never expected to be in a major event. And for me, it's an opportunity to have a bigger audience to share the burning message that's been inside of me. Because for me, I realized that since money is neutral, it depends on the heart of the person who's handling the money. So if you're a Bible believer, you know that with the money, you can use that as a tool to help build churches, print Bibles, support those who are needy, who are weak. Just like what Jesus taught in the Bible, that if you clothe the naked and if you feed the hungry, it's like you're feeding me. So I want to create that mindset to Christians that money is just a tool that you can to further the kingdom of God here on earth.
Indeed. Thank you, May. So how about Shani and Charlene? Yeah, Shani actually is not here in the Philippines. She is currently abroad, right?
Yes. And I agree to Sis May. Yes, definitely God works in wonders and God's word is alive in our hearts as long as we have the time to listen. And actually, I'm very thankful that in year 2020, I was able to write and publish my book with the help of Book Writing Challenge and Write University by Ms. Shana Sino. Actually, my book traveled from the Philippines to the Middle East. And now I'm here currently like 4 hours behind you. So it's still 4 o'clock here, 5 o'clock here with us. So I'm really thankful for the opportunity to be part of this Manila book fair. And even though I'm away from you, I believe that we are one, we are united in prayers. So thank you so much for this opportunity.
You're welcome, Shani. I can feel your excitement, Shani. I can feel all of your excitement, May, Shani, Doris, Charlene, and Bea. So how about you, Doris, Charlene, and Bea? How did you feel when you finally published your book?
Yeah, so for me, actually, it was a dream come true. You know what? I always share to my community, to my friends, to my mentees that my dream is like to publish a book, and now it's realized. I also have one time when I shared that I'm afraid to die because I still haven't published this book, and now that it's already out, I think I'm ready. No, I was just kidding.
Okay. But that was the feeling.
Yeah.
You felt a huge sense of accomplishment.
Yes.
And joy.
It was like I already fulfilled my purpose. It was like
wow.
Yeah, because you know, many women need to hear this message, and now it's out, and it's really a dream come true. I'm actually speechless. I don't know how to say it, but I'm really really happy, and I feel so blessed that I have all this support, and now it's realized.
Thank you, Charlene. Thank you. And your book is really important. So women really need to read your book, not just women, including men. So we will know whether we are already abused or whether we are already abusive to other people as well and what we can do. Okay, so thank you, Charlene. Now let's go to Doris.
Yeah. Thank you, Shaw, by the way, for teaching us how to write a book. You know, when I was in high school, I've always wanted to be part of our school paper, but I wasn't accepted. So it did not really occur to me that I could write a book. But through the 90-day book challenge, I was able to publish this book, this colorful book, because it's for kids and mothers and parents. And it's like, yeah, it's a dream come true indeed. Dream come true. Yes. Wow.
Amen. Thank you, Doris, and thank you to all our authors. We're down to the last question, but before that, let's acknowledge those who are watching right now and those who send their comments. So Vern Jules Kubading says, nice. So I think Bea knows him. All right. And then Adding says, thank you, Miss Bea. Adding Lakbayan. Flight Standby 157, cheering for you, classmates. Be an inspiration to many. So you are really an inspiration. And even if, wherever you are, even if we're not physically together, we are here virtually via this live, you are already inspiring a lot of people through your stories. And I'm also excited that our readers will really grab copies of your books because I know that your books will really bless them. So to all our listeners right now, to all those who are watching this live or maybe who will watch the replay later, if any of the author's messages resonated with you, feel free to grab copies of their books at the Manila International Book Fair and also to reach out to them. Reach out to them, talk to them, ask them. Later on, they'll also share where you can reach them. And we will also be they will also comment in the YouTube in this live and eventually in the Facebook live, and feel free to reach out to them. Okay, so we're down to the last question. So the last question is for listeners right now who would also like to write their own book someday. So my question is, how has the 90-day book writing challenge helped you, and what is your number one tip to aspiring authors?
I'll start.
Okay, May.
For me, the 90-day book writing challenge helped me with four things: motivation, consistency, momentum, and creativity. But for motivation, your words that you have a message to share and you care, so you should write a book, that really pushed me to write this book and the books after this. And for consistency, because it's really a challenge for me to write a book because I have a couple of businesses, 5 kids, a hands-on mom. So it's really hard for me to find time. But with the book writing challenge, the part about time management where you need to set aside at least 1 hour to 2 hours a day just to write parts of your book, it helped me a lot to finish this. And my to cut this short, my tip to those aspiring writers, just do it. Don't overanalyze. Don't overthink. Just do it.
Yes. Thank you, Michelle. You're welcome, May. And if you're a mom like me, and maybe you're saying, I don't have time. So May has 5 kids and she was able to, make time. So thank you, May. And thank you for sharing that tip as well. All right. Thank you. Now let's go to Chani.
Yes, Sha. Actually, I'm very thankful for Book Writing Challenge because it's like an answered prayer. During that time, part of my dream board is to write a book. And actually, when I saw the ad of a Book Writing Challenge, I did not hesitate to enroll and to be part of it. And it was really a blessing for me. The lessons and the modules were very systematic, organized, and it really helped me a lot. And I'm thankful for that. Thank you very much, Sha. And for maybe my tip for those aspiring writers, believe in yourself, you can do it, and take one day at a time. And I think better to work for progress and not for perfection. Thank you.
That is so important. So I just want to highlight that aim for progress, not perfection. Because the reason why a lot of people would like to write a book but they can't get to publish their books is because they are waiting until the book is perfect. So thank you for pointing that out, Chani.
Thank you very much.
Okay. You're welcome. Okay, so let's hear from Doris.
Okay, my tips are 3 B's. Believe in yourself, believe in your story, and believe that the 90-day book writing challenge could really help you, and you have a mentor who believes in you, and that's Shana Sino. Thank you.
Oh. Thank you, Doris. Thank you. So I like that you were able to summarize them into 3 B's. So thank you, Doris. Thank you so much. Now let's hear from Charlene.
All right. So for me naman, what I keep on telling those din na who'd want to write because I also mentor aspiring freelance writers, and I keep on hearing things like they don't want to publish something or post something because they fear judgment, or they fear that someone would critique their article, something like those. So what I keep on telling is to just write it. And another one that I would like to emphasize from the book 90 Day Book Writing Challenge is really the message of Coach Sha. She keeps on telling that if you care and if you have a message to share, then go on, just write it. So just write it, no matter what other people would think about it or what other people would say about your writing. If, for example, they say that you are not good in grammar, that you are not good in English, just write it, because it doesn't need to be that your book will be perfect English. It can be Taglish. Actually, my book is also Taglish. It's not perfect English, because what you should consider here is your reader. They are the most important person that you need to consider, because they are the ones going to read your book anyways. And those that who will judge you, or who will say that your book is not perfect, or your book is not perfect English, those are the people who are not your target readers. So focus on your message, focus on the people who need your help, and just write your book.
Exactly. Thank you, Charlene. Thank you. And like what you said, and also you agreed with Shani that you don't need to be perfect. It doesn't need to be perfect. You just need to write, aim for progress, not perfection. So thank you, Charlene. And now let's hear from Bea.
So the other authors already talked about how you should just go ahead and write your book. To me, one of the main things that distracted me was my self-doubt. So when you start doubting yourself, I encourage you to trust God more and trust the message that He put into your heart. Believe that you are able to write it, and just go ahead and write it. Trust in the message, trust in God, and trust that He is working through you to inspire and save someone else.
Thank you. Thank you, Bea. That is so true. Sometimes what keeps us from writing our books is ourselves. Right? Doubting whether we can write a book. So let me tell you this. If you are listening right now via this live, or maybe the replay later, and maybe you're doubting yourself, yes, I want to write a book, but I don't know where to start, or I'm not good with the English grammar, etc. You don't need to. You don't need to, okay? And also, you don't need to question yourself whether you're worth it to become an author, because I believe that everyone is capable of writing a book. The only skill you need is the skill to write a sentence. If you can write a sentence, then you can write a book. So at this point, I'd like to thank all our authors who joined us in this live. Chani, Bea, May, Doris, and Charlene, thank you so much for joining us. And again, to all our listeners, please grab copies of their books at the Manila International Book Fair. This is the biggest book fair, especially in the Philippines. But now, because of the pandemic, they went online or virtual. And so this is really, really international. We can, wherever you are, wherever you're tuning in from, wherever country, as long as you have the internet, you would be able to buy copies of their books. Okay? So this is the link. We will also put the link in the comments. And our authors will also put the links to their social media accounts so that you can follow them, and you can reach them if you have questions about their specific book, or maybe you want to be mentored by them. I'm not sure if they offer mentoring right now, but simply if you want to connect with them, follow them, you can check their links later. They will put it in the comments section, okay? So thank you so much for joining me, all our authors. Thank you so much for joining me. Just very briefly, and also share it verbally, how can people reach you? Where's the best platform that they can go to?
Okay, me first. They can reach me through Facebook. Doris Parel de Mailig. And I also have a website, dorisdemailig.com. And of course, via Manila International Book Fair. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Doris.
Okay, I'll go first. For me, you can reach me in my Facebook, Chani Sagun, and also I invite everyone to grab a copy of our books in Manila International Book Fair online. Thank you.
You're welcome, Chani.
For the Break Free book, ayan, because it's still an ebook. So what I'm showing you right now was the printed manuscript where I finalized the proofreading. But anyways, you can reach me on Facebook also. I'm most active on Facebook. So we have a page for particularly for this Break Free ebook, and we also have a community. So for those who would want to join the community, it's a free community where you can join if you are a victim of, or if you are someone who would want to share some advice to a victim, if you're a survivor of, or if you are a concerned citizen, you're also welcome in this group. So the link will be posted soon where you can check on the group and the page of this ebook. And yes, available siya sa manilabookfair.com. There, flashed on the screen. Thank you.
Welcome. Thank you also, Charlene.
Okay, for me, you can reach me at my Facebook page, May H. Espinol. Yung May, it's spelled M-E-Y. So, May H. Espinol Facebook page. And also, I have, because of the book writing course of Misha, you can also reach me through another page, Multiplied Publications. I am starting my own publishing house. Thank you, Misha.
Nice. Wow, you're welcome. Thank you. Okay. So everyone shared already where people can reach you. Right? So everyone shared already.
I can just...
Adeo, sorry.
Bea Paula Cruz. You can also grab the book at the link that's placed here in the manilabookfair.com. Thank you.
You're welcome, Bea. So the link is in the desk in the comment section. You can just click that, and later after this live, our authors will comment their links as well. So you can just click and you'd be able to go to their pages. All right. So thank you so much. And also, I'd like to read the comments from one of our listeners, Yuri. He said, or she said, congratulations to all the authors. Thank you for being an inspiration to others. So thank you for being an inspiration, Bea, Chani, Doris, May, and Charlene. Thank you so much. And may God bless you. Thank you for joining me in this live.
Thank you, Ms. Chan.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much.
Thank you,
everyone.
Okay, so there, you're able to hear from the authors of the 90-Day Book Writing Challenge who were able to write their books. So I'm really happy that they were able to join me. And it's good also that you were able to listen to their stories. If they can write a book, you can too. And I also really, really highly encourage you to check out their books at the Manila International Book Fair. Please do visit manilabookfair.com and then just look for Wright University under exhibitors, and you'd be able to see their books. And with just a few clicks, you'd be able to buy their books. All right? So again, this is Chat Asino. It is such an honor for me to talk to all our authors, the graduates of the 90-Day Book Writing Challenge. We're very happy that you're able to join us in this live. And if you are watching the replay, thank you as well. Please comment, share your comments. What was the highlight of this live for you, of this video for you? What did you get from it, etc.? So I'm about to end, and I just want to tell you this. If you believe that you can write a book, then you can write a book. You don't need to be a writer in order to write a book. Neither do you write a book because you are a writer. Here's what you need. You write because you care, and you have a message to share. Again, this is Shatna Sino. I'm the founder of the 90-Day Book Writing Challenge and Write University. All right, did you enjoy the podcast? Let me guess, I'm sure you did. So don't forget to download your free ebook, Why You Need to Write a Book. Simply go to theauthorsvoice.net/book. Again, that's theauthorsvoice.net/book. And I look forward to sending you the ebook.
Thank you for listening to The Author's Voice with Sean Asino. Make sure to visit theauthorsvoice.net to access the show notes and discover some cool gifts and bonuses for you.